Good morning.
I am so looking forward to ruling you with an iron fist. Don't say that. No. It won't be like that at all. Friends, I am really, I'm really grateful to get to work with you. I'm grateful because I have had a wonderful experience in the past of seeing how God is at work in my life and at work in a congregation's life, and that at the right time, I feel that we get brought together to do some good work together for a season. And it's my earnest hope and belief that my time in the wilderness over the last 11 months now is going to be of great service to you as you work through your wilderness. This text that I am sharing this morning is a continuation on something I picked up, I shared with you a couple weeks ago, right? I wanted to consider the person and the character and the story of Hagar, the slave girl who is going to become the mother of a nation. And her story just touched me deeply, especially at the beginning of this wilderness journey that I have been in, and I trust that it will give to us both some guidance about how it is that we can enter into our wilderness experiences corporately and individually, how God invites us to respond to that experience and respond to God, and how we can trust that God's going to respond to us. My mom came up, my mom lives in the Central Valley. She came up to watch my youngest son in the bath last night. And so I said, hey, I gotta go. Take care, Mom. I got an hour commute to get down to the church. And she says, you know, she's a mom, so she's been praying for me for months, right? And she said, boy, that's so great. I'm so happy for you. You know, just remember, God's never late. this provision for you and for the kids came just in time. And I said, yes, that's true. God is never late. He's also never early. It's been a really stretching season. And I want to share that with you now because I think as we work through this journey of transition to another chapter of life, we're all going to come at some wonderful moment in the not too distant future, and we're going to say, yes, God's timing is perfect. It is also obnoxious. Yes, God's timing is just in time, but man, it really stretched us really to the utter, almost to the breaking point, more often than we want to admit. And we never want to forget how hard it was, because that is what helps us to live in greater resilience and faith for the next challenge. I know that West Valley Presbyterian Church is already gone through plenty of challenges. I know that many of us would like to be able to say, can we just get through this as quickly as possible? I know I certainly did through my journey. And yet, God's timing is perfect. And it is out in the wilderness that we come to have an encounter with God that we can't have any other way. And it's in the wilderness that we are transformed in a way that we can't be transformed any other way. And I believe that for this community, and I believe it for each and every one of us personally. And so, maybe we can think of Hagar as our patron saint of the wilderness, who's going to give us some teachings and guidance about how we too can enter through our wilderness experience. Genesis chapter 21. Beginning in verse 8. Hagar, last time she was in the wilderness, she was there because she fled pregnant. Now, she's come back. She's had her son Ishmael. In the course of things, Sarah does indeed become pregnant as God promised she would. She does in fact bear a son. She now has a boy of her own, Isaac. And so, starting at verse 8, Isaac grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to do, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. I'm going to pause there for just a second and say, let's just notice that Sarah and Abraham, matriarch and patriarch of the faith, people that we hold up as basking as these amazing examples of God's covenant faithfulness, they are acting horribly here. Saints act badly sometimes. Let's also notice that God acts in a way that I'm not too thrilled with either. There's a part of me that wants, wishes that God would say, Abraham, Sarah, knock it off. Act right. How dare you send this girl off? She did nothing wrong. If there's any problem here, you get a classic blaming the victim thing, right? And there's just a lot messy with the story. And I want to mention that to you simply to say, sometimes when we come into church, we think, it's the pastor's job to kind of clean this all up and make sense of it. There's no making sense of it. It's a mess. And that's great. That's great. Why? Because the Bible actually reflects the messiness of our real lives. Your life isn't so clean either, right? So we actually have the gift of an honest scripture telling honest stories about honest, in an honest way about people and inviting us to enter that as well. So for all those questions that we carry with us into the balance of the story, let's just hold all that. Sarah acting badly. Abraham acting badly. Nobody feels sorry for him offering her the slave woman, the mother of his child, a loaf of bread and a skin of water and saying good luck. This is all bad. All bad. And yet God's going to work in this all bad thing in an amazing way. Picking up in verse 15. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say thanks to God. The reason I called this sermon The Desperate Present is because I know that we, as human beings, have a tendency to either live in the past or live in the future. When we live in the past, it's usually out of a sense of nostalgia for the good old days that weren't really as good as we like to think they were, but we like to talk about that. or we live in regret. Nostalgia and regret. That's usually what happens when we live in the past. And when we live in the future, we live in worry. We're anxious about all the things that we do not know, and we're concerned how they might all turn out. And it's in that tension that God always reminds us and meets us and reveals God's loving care for us in the present. God does not call us to live in the past. We can't go back and fix anything that's done. God does not call us to live in the future. We have no control over the future, but we do know the one who does. God calls us to live in the present. But sometimes the present is desperate, isn't it? Sometimes we're in the desperate present. And nothing is going to change that reality. But that is where we need God. Do we find ourselves in the desperate present? Can we acknowledge that instead of continuing to replay the past over and over again and ask ourselves the question, how did I get here? Or wishing that, you know, maybe tomorrow it'll all be better. Maybe tomorrow something will change. To kind of set all that energy and all that effort that we put in, just working our brains over and over again, to give all that up and just be here in the moment. I think one of the things I love about this story is how Hagar is able to live in the reality of this present moment. And it's a terrible moment. It's an awful moment. A moment in which she has been exiled, cast off, treated like so much trash, given minimal provisions, and said, good luck. It's an awful thing to feel like you're tossed away that way. But it's even worse now, because the last time, as I said, she ran to the desert of her own volition, and pregnant though she was still sort of on her own, but nothing. Nothing is more desperate and nothing is more scary than when you find yourself in the wilderness and you've got somebody else out there with you depending on you. That's when things get really real. So now she, as a mother, finds herself out in the wilderness with her child. And she is beyond desperate. What happens in her, I believe, is what's available and what's happening for us. God hears a cry, so Hagar cries out. He then urges Hagar to take hold of Ishmael, not to cast him off. And then God invites her to see anew. So she cries out. God then calls her to take hold. And in taking hold, God enables her to see anew. She enters out into the wilderness, and there's this, I wonder if you noticed this funny little exchange. The water runs out, she puts Ishmael under a bush, presumably where there's some shade. And then she goes a ways away because she's going to lose her mind at the thought of watching him die. So she goes a distance away. He's under the shade, and she cries out. She begins to cry out, and she lets God know exactly how bad it all is. And I think it cannot be understated the value, the importance of the raw, honest prayer that comes to us when we are desperate. And the assurance that this story gives us that God hears such. We are not called to keep a stiff upper lip. We are not called to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We are not called to just suck it up. Nothing in the story invites us to be stoic. Nothing about the story invites us to cover it up and conceal it and try to keep it private so nobody else knows about it. Everything in this story invites us to be real and raw and honest before God, and if necessary, to be real and raw and honest before others. And say, this is really what's going on. I am really this scared. It is really this awful. And I really need to be known and heard in my field. greatest gift I have through this journey, my time of unemployment, and the profound uncertainty of what was going to happen next, that I had good friends that I could cry out to, and those friends who encouraged me to cry out to God. Knowing, yes, God knew exactly what was going on. God was not ignorant of the thing. I knew that all these things were ordered in a certain way, and that God was in it. But that did not change the fact that I was still scared to death. And not only was I scared to death because of me shoot, I can sleep in a car. It's just me. I can do me a lot of things. But this picture really stuck me because I didn't just see Ishmael. I saw my sons in this picture. And I was so worried about what life was going to be like for them. And isn't it striking that when God does show up to talk to Hagar, when she cries out, the angel of the Lord appears. And what does the angel of the Lord say? The angel of the Lord doesn't actually say, "Oh, the Lord heard you, Hagar." The angel says, "The Lord heard your boy. The Lord is mindful of your child, Hagar. The Lord is mindful of Ishmael." Friends, when we bring those people who we are fearful for, when we bring those who are the most vulnerable, those who depend on us, when we're in the wilderness and we know that that has a consequence in other people's lives, the promise of this text is God notices them too. I can't tell you the number of times I can remind myself that God doesn't have grandchildren. That God is equally invested in the well-being of my kids as I myself am. He is mindful. It's as if God is saying, I got this. I got you taken care of, but not only do I have you taken care of, I care about what you care about most. And so, God says, take hold of your child. Don't cast him off. Don't put him beyond you, the length of a bow shot. Don't hold him at a distance. Go take hold of him. I am going to do a great thing. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to care for him just as love cares for you. When we're in the wilderness, that is the time when we often will find ourselves in this little tension about maybe I should just shed it all. Maybe I should just let go. But in fact, what God is saying, no, this is the time when your priorities get really clarified. This is the time to hold on to what is most important. This is the time to get real centered on what really matters and hold on to that with everything about you because God cares about what you care about. Cry out so that the Lord hears you. Then you discover that the Lord has heard the whole thing, knows the whole situation. Then take hold. Take hold. Don't let go of what's most important and bring that before the Lord. Cry out and take hold. Allow that clarifying work to be what the wilderness can do in us. He brings a real clarity. And then, see anew. It's in that moment that God opens her eyes anew. Verse 19, then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. In her desperation, in her terror, in her fear, all she could experience was, This skin of water is empty. We're out of bread. He's going to die of thirst. There's nothing out here. All of our resources are gone. But because she cried out, the Lord met her, said, take hold of him, and amazing, surprising provision shows up just in. Just like me. Just like you. Just like you for me, and me for you, and now we get to see how we will become provision for somebody else. Amen? This isn't just about you and me. It's about this world that desperately needs provision. We're going to be the surprise provision for a world in the wilderness. Amen. And I'll let you think about that. This well shows up in a surprising way, just in time. Talk to people who've been through the wilderness. Talk to people who've had their faith stretched in the wilderness. And they will tell you over and over and over again, God did deliver. God did show up. And it was just in time. It was just in time. And it was just enough. And it told me that God had heard, and God was not ignorant, and God was going to keep moving forward. I can tell you, moment after moment of the last few months, in which I was absolutely at my lowest point, and some oasis showed up out of nowhere. One of those oasis moments, I was coming home from Petaluma. I'd just gone up to Petaluma and talked to the executive presbyter up there about the churches in that area. Because my prayer had been, God, please provide me with a work that will help me stay in the area so that my kids can finish high school here and I can continue to grow and do the work that, around spiritual direction and coaching and other things that you've been birthing in me. That's my prayer. And so I was up in Petaluma, had this conversation that looked to go absolutely nowhere. And I'm driving down from Petaluma back to Walnut Creek, feeling like the resources are just closing down. There's just nothing happening. And then I get a phone call from Bob. Morgan, I got your name. I'm wondering, would you be willing to come and preach for us in September? Yeah. And we've got a transitional pastor we're talking to, but it's taken a while. We're not sure what's going on. And so, you know, you think maybe you could preach in October too? I got nothing else going on. And having in that moment, the transition from I got nothing going on to God saying, I got something going on for you. The wilderness is going to be a long journey, guys. I'm just telling you that right now. It takes way longer than you want it to. It's going to be harder than we think. It's going to stretch us in ways we really prefer not to. And at the same time, there's going to be little moments of joy and hope, little oasis experiences that just remind us God is not forgotten. God is not ignorant. God is not failing out on us. God is very mindful, and God is on the way. And so, I'm so grateful that you got a copy of this beautiful little portrait, Hagar in the Wilderness by Camille Corot. I've meditated upon this picture a great deal. And there's lots of things I would want to share with you about it. But the thing I would emphasize as I wrap up this morning is this. Notice how Hagar has her left arm lifted up in supplication. And notice how the angel of the Lord in the background is coming with his right arm lifted up. And how Ishmael is in the middle. Between Hagar and the angel, there lies Ishmael. And I think it's a beautiful representation of the way in which the people that we love and care for are held in the tension of our love and God's love. And we are being invited to cry out with all of our strength and trust that God and all of God's strength will come meet us. And there's Ishmael, completely vulnerable, at risk, and God is on God's way. In the vastness of the wilderness, in the beauty, in the starkness, in the scariness, God shows up. And God has shown up for us this morning. So let us take this wilderness journey together and see the amazing things God will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, who loves us so dearly, who is ever mindful of what we need together and each of us individually. May this story and may this beautiful picture be, continue to be a meditation for us in the weeks and months to come about how we are called to go into new and challenging places where we will meet you anew and see you accomplish that which only you can do. Help each of us to hold on and trust in that you are more than sufficient for us.
Thank you again for coming today. What a timely day it is to hear this message for all of us, isn't it? Isn't it great? And thanks again very much, Morgan.
We know that there's donuts and coffee waiting for us, so we don't need that to take a long time. But let us complete our time of worship together with the benediction. The blessing of the God of Sarah, Hagar, and Abraham. The blessing of the Son born of Mary. The blessing of the Holy Spirit who broods over all of us as a mother cares for her children. May the God triune, full of love, drawing us ever closer into care, be with you all.